Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. We're joined by Charles Bracey of Aterion. Merry Christmas, Charles.
Merry Christmas to you, gents.
How's things? I know you were leaving for Thanksgiving last time we spoke, and how was that? Was that all good?
It was great. It's always good to get back to the good old US of A.
And have more turkey lined up.
Eight to excess.
Yes. Charles, are you going to be able to watch the Arsenal match on your big TV?
My big TV is no longer a big TV. It's a few smaller TVs. And
you'd be able to watch it in stereo then.
Definitely.
3D.
Yeah. So had a little accident with the television coming off the wall, but there's a new one on the way, and we'll get the footy back up in no time.
That Santa will be bringing you a new one, Willie. Good. Okay. So. Well, let's look at progress in 2023 for Aterion, from ITSCI membership to Rio Tinto JV, and obviously progress in Morocco. Tell us how you feel the year has gone so far, Charles.
I feel that it's been a very, very good year, in the sense that, in particular with Rio Tinto, that was something that we had not anticipated. So it was a very positive surprise to the market. Also, in terms of the nature of the JV, this is a major global mining company that would only be involved with somebody where they think that the prospective scale and potential of the project justifies their involvement. And so we're very proud to have not only brought to them a project that we feel fits that bill, but also we've brought to them a project that has the scale, but also allows us to demonstrate that we can pass their muster. And so going through that due diligence process, which was a bit time consuming and intense on occasion, but very, very worthwhile. So happy with that. Happy with the work that we did with the trading. Disappointed in some respects in terms of the time. We really wanted to be much further along than that. But the Rio Tinto JV occupied a lot of our limited time. And then in Morocco, I think we advanced dramatically on, in particular, Azra, Tata, and Agdes. And we brought on Est Jebelet, or Jebelet Est, depending on how you want to say it, to really have the market understand that we have some scale and potential there as well. So happy with 2023.
I'm looking at the share price, and I'm looking at the different volumes, and the share price basically hasn't moved, has it? It's basically started the year at 0.85 and probably going to finish the year at 0.85 or thereabouts. Yeah. We popped over one a couple of times on volume, especially when the Rio thing was announced, or the Rio joint venture was announced, and then was sold into, which... I mean, give people an idea. I think basically this year has been a turnover of shares in respect of the fact that this company was East Inc Mining Company. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that the company is one subject to the overall market, and that market has been relatively poor for small caps and companies in this particular sector.
It hasn't been poor. It's been tragic, Charles. Poor is your TV.
I think it being
tragic.
Yeah.
That being said, we really have to stand out, and we have to do better. I'm disappointed with the share price performance. I talk to the shareholders literally on a daily basis. A lot of them don't understand why a company that has a potential project that's going to be, you know, well into the nine digits and likely a 10 digit in terms of potential present value, would not get the benefit of that. And we asked them to be patient. We asked them to allow us to demonstrate and continue to prove what it is we're saying. What I've learned is that the timing and scale of the timing to better manage expectations, I think I have to be a little bit better with that, in the sense that this is not finance where a typical transaction is kind of started and completed within 2 to 3 weeks. This is more along the 2 to 3 quarters. And so I think that going forward in 2024, we'll be able to better manage their expectations, but as well to demonstrate and actually provide what I would consider to be hard evidence of the potential that Aterian PLC holds, and its share price should reflect that, you know, and that would be a multiple of this existing share price.
So if you're an investor now and you're listening to the 12 stocks that we've obviously done our due diligence in a big way, because we went out to Rwanda to see the projects, which you kindly allowed us to do. We also saw the gorillas, but that's another story. And you know, we met Rio Tinto. That's only part of the story, obviously, because you've got the trading arm, which hopefully we're going to see come to fruition in 2024. And you've got Morocco, which I think when you look back 12 months ago, you expected Morocco to be the main deal. Not
absolutely.
Rio Tinto came in and did a JV with you in a country they've never entered before. And, you know, we have lithium, basically. So, you know, give us an idea of what you think is ahead for investors, and why should they, at this price, which has basically stood still over a year, which in terms of small cap market is actually quite good, because, you know, mining stocks in the small cap place in 2023 pretty much decreased. You know, I think 75-80% of them have decreased in volume. So
yes,
to stay where you are is not a hugely bad result. Based on what's behind it, maybe it is a bad result. But tell us what is going forward, because we can't do anything about what's happened now.
Yep, they're very true. Going forward, I think what you'll see is the trading business. Let's start there. And to give an update, the comptoir is done. It's completed. It's ready to go. There we are in discussions with multiple parties on offtakes. I expect those to be concluded in January. And noting that I just talked about expectation management.
Don't say a date.
Exactly. That's how far.
They will be completed in the next 24 months, says Charles. Yes. Okay.
So
January noted.
Yes, we really are now ready to go there. We had a couple setbacks, but we're ready to go. And we're very much looking forward to that, because obviously it will, the revenue generation and the profit generation will at the very least reduce our need to go back to capital markets. And that's the key. I also believe that at some time in the first half of 2024, we should have the initial results back from some drilling work that will be undertaken by Rio Tinto in Rwanda. And I think that will give a very good indication to the market of whether this $1 billion PV that I just mentioned is something that is pure fantasy, or something that is probability, you know, a decent probability or a stretch. Personally, I believe that it's a very strong probability, just to lay that out there. I think also over the course of 2024, you'll see that we have progressed not only the exploration efforts in Morocco, but we've got the proof to demonstrate that we've advanced those. And ideally, we have a partner who's engaging with us on at least one of those projects.
If I take you back to the lithium in Rwanda, Charles, there's two outcomes, okay? Because we know there's lithium there. I don't think it's in doubt that there's lithium. The quantity is the issue, yeah?
Yeah.
So two outcomes. There's not enough lithium, or there's so much lithium that we can all sail off into the sunset, yeah? Yeah? Okay, there may be an in-between bit as well, but ultimately, for Aterian shareholders, you know, more than what, 50 million, 60 million, 70 million tons of lithium were sailing off into the sunset, I think.
I think that if we, anything over 20 million tons of lithium indicated is going to mean sailing into the sunset, given our market cap. That, I mean, you know, then your 5 to 10 bagger is not out of the question. So it's a function of our the upside relative to our existing market capitalization.
Yes. So let's assume, because I'm playing devil's advocate here, it's less than that. There's only 10 million tons of lithium and spodumite and, and basically Rio Tinto have spent however much doing 40,000 meters of drilling, and you have a very, very good map of what's it about. And they have to walk away because it's just not big enough for Rio Tinto. Is that an awful situation for Eteri?
It is not. I mean, to be brutally honest, the reality is that at that point, it's a question of what is the capital cost involved to build a mine versus the lithium resource. So, and then that gets back to the price of lithium, and where what we've seen over the past, 18 months or so, is a dramatic decline. What I can say is right now, with those numbers, let's say 20 million plus, this price that we have in lithium is, as far as we can tell, it seems to us at this point to be still a very profitable proposition with a 20 million ton deposit.
They've invested something like $7.5 million over those two stages. So ultimately, that's a lot of money spent on effectively exploring an asset that you own, right?
Yes. And what can I say? I don't think they will spend money where they don't think there's a real potential for scale. I think that everything that we've seen so far is indicating that Rwanda itself has a tremendous, tremendous potential. And so we're actively exploring areas outside where Rio Tinto's exploring on HCK. Oh, we understand they're likely to be looking all over the country along with everybody else at this point, because what we've discovered is this country has a tremendous amount of potential.
So either outcome is not the end of the world for Eteri, and either outcome is probably going to be fairly financially prosperous in terms of Rwanda. Okay.
In terms of Rwanda, if we find something, it is likely to be very good for Eteri.
And you've got the potential for the trading as well in Rwanda. So if we park Rwanda and say, we have an £8 million company. I don't know how much you're going to be able to generate profit from the dealings, but however much that is, it's going to mean for sure less dilution, and hopefully, touch wood, after 2024, probably no dilution in terms of depending on whether you have partners to do other things.
Yes.
Then we move to Morocco, and you definitely have the metal, which from everybody's perspective is, I think, going to be the darling of the next 2 to 5 years, which is copper.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the potential magnitude of the copper and where do you see that going? I mean, I know you have 19 different things, but there are one or two favorites. So tell us about the favorites.
Just to correct you there, it's 17 different projects.
Sorry, 17. Yeah.
We have the favorite, without a doubt, is Tata, and it's a sedimentary hosted copper deposit in the Anti-Atlas. I describe it as the southwest region of Morocco, and it has all the indications that it is quite significant. Using neurology, as Simon is, our CEO, is apt to do, he has stated that we could have a multi-million ton copper deposit indicating greater than 1%. So that for us would definitely attract the interest of the majors. What we've seen in the market is a number of the majors are looking for growth through acquisition of projects. And so we feel now's the time to begin to start to look for a project partner. There have been recently some very good deals, copper, and in the mining sector, and we feel that we have an asset that justifies obtaining one of those types of deals. For us, that would mean a good cash amount up front to the company, but as well a good interest in the project that would also have a partner who would contribute substantially to its exploration and development.
And again, just for reference of magnitude, are we talking 8, 9, 10 figure MPV in terms of this potential.
Again,
this is potential, so we want to be careful.
Yeah,
but
so potential, we're talking, given, you know, the existing copper price, projects that have MPVs $5 to $10 billion US dollars.
Okay, so it's definitely going to attract the majors. They're going to be interested.
Yes,
it's going to be a project that potentially, again, I use the word potentially, kind of last for 25 years, and they produce maybe 100,000 tons of copper a year.
The scale is there, and it has attracted the attention of multiple parties. And so we're very excited about progressing a joint venture.
So from our perspective, why we chose you guys is, yes, we went and saw it for ourselves, but more importantly, you have one major already in a joint venture in Rwanda for a certain asset, which is lithium. And yes, the lithium price has fallen, but I still think it's going to be economical. It's not going to be expensive to mine in Rwanda compared to other places, in my view. I think it's going to be pretty cost-effective.
Very true.
Secondly, you've got the trading arm. And thirdly, you've got potential another type of asset, as in copper, in another jurisdiction in Morocco. So I think all of this, for a little parcel currently of £8 million, we believe has great potential.
I agree more.
And it's as simple as that. That's why we chose you as one of our 12 stocks. And why, I will now ask you the question, what is the strangest place you've ever spent Christmas?
I love these interview questions from you guys.
They're no always... filth, Charles, this time.
Yes, not too descriptive, Charles. Okay,
was in Koh Samui, Thailand, with my at the time fiance.
Wow, very nice.
Which is a very, you know, having grown up in a place where there was snow on the ground and jingle bells being sung, to be in the jungle in Thailand is it's a bit different. So
yeah, absolutely,
it was lovely.
I'm gonna go. What's the best present you've ever? Let's say given. Because I like receiving's good, but giving is so you get so much more satisfaction. What is the best you've ever gifted?
Well, that's another one.
A new TV.
Yeah. For yourself.
Sorry. There, I have to say I gave my brother some tickets to Lennox Lewis fight at Madison Square Garden against, it was Evander Holyfield.
Holyfield. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would have been some bout.
That would have been an event.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Agreed.
Did you go with him, or you just gave him the tickets?
Of course. I couldn't let him go alone.
Okay. I was going to say. You did say tickets. So okay. You chaperoned him to it. That was very generous.
He looked out for me. I looked out for him.
Sounds good.
Charles, I mean, another year on us. So we look forward to welcoming you back on in the new year, and, you know, just wish you all the best. Have a great
Christmas. I look forward to updating you and your audience.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We look forward to another year of talking to you, and hopefully a year where we will go in 2024 again to Rwanda and go and check it out, and also to Morocco and check out what's going on there in terms of the copper. So people can get an idea of the story as it gathers momentum. I think as we move into this cycle, things are going to get very interesting, in my view, in terms of all of these resource plays.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll say Charles Bray, Executive Chairman of Tyrian. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.